بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وذو فضل كرم الله سبحانه وتعالى. Allah chose us to visit our brothers and sisters in Somalia during the past week. I accompanied the Alimdar Foundation to visit and assist the war-stricken and drought-stricken country of Somalia. Before I give you my report back, just to share with you the demographics of Somalia so we can put you in a picture and you can understand the plight more clearly, inshallah. If you look at Somalia on the map, it is situated in a place called the Horn of Africa. If you look at the map, it's shaped like a rhino's horn. So it's situated in a place called the Horn of Africa. The population of Somalia is 16 million people, 99% Muslims. And from those Muslims, majority are Sunni Muslim. If you look at the north of Somalia, you will find Yemen and Saudi Arabia. If you find the east of Somalia, it's on a coast. So the east of Somalia will be the Indian Ocean. The west of Somalia will be Ethiopia. And you find Kenya in the southwest of Somalia. How Deen came to Somalia, there's different narrations when you spoke to the people on the ground. One story is that they dated this right back to the Hijrah. When the first Hijrah took place and Sahaba went to Abyssinia, that is Ethiopia. So some of the brothers mentioned to us from that time, at that time there was no Somalia, no Ethiopia. That whole entire area and region was called Abyssinia. So some of the Sahaba had went into the region of Somalia, and that is how Deen came to this part of the world. Some brothers mentioned the Arab traders who were using that route. It was a coastal route. So they used to pass through Somalia. And not only they did business with the people of Somalia, and not only they taught the people of Somalia how to do business. If you look at our local Somalis in Mayfair and in Durban, you'll find they got the art of doing business. Now this art, they were taught by the Arab businessmen and Arab traders who used to pass through the region of Somalia. Not only they taught them how to do business, but they taught them the Arabic language. There's two main languages in Somalia. One is the Somali language and one is Arabic language. Arabic language is commonly used by the people of Somalia. And not only that, they changed their language, they gave them deen, and they changed their entire dressing. Not a single woman we saw without burqa in the entire trip. Not a single woman, whether she was baligh or not baligh. Whether it's a small 5-year-old girl or an 80-year-old woman, every single woman were in burqa. And they have a special type of burqa that's from the head right till the ankles. The long burqas. So amazing how Deen came to this place. And ulama will appreciate the next few points. There's a place called Zayla'ah. It's a coastal town in Somalia. And two great scholars of Deen hail from this area. And both are ustad and student. Imam Zayla'i, one is Fakhruddin al-Zayla'i, and one is Jamaluddin al-Zayla'i. Fakhruddin al-Zayla'i, he was the author of Tabyinul Haqa'iq, the Sharh of Kanzud Daqa'iq, and the student, Jamaluddin al-Zayla'i, he was the author of Nasbur Raya. Two very important kitabs. So these two ulama of Somalia, they were born in Somalia, and later on in their life they moved to Egypt, but they hail from this region and from this town called Zayla'ah. Not only that, there's a masjid which they say that it is the first masjid of Africa. And this masjid had two qiblas. One was facing Masjid al-Aqsa, and when the qibla changed, then it was facing Kaaba. So amazing, scenes of deen in this place. This was just to put you in a picture so you'll understand now the plight, inshallah. What is happening in Somalia? What has happened in Somalia? Number one is civil war. there are factions and groups who are anti-government, and from time to time they are bombing certain areas. So that is one of the major factors which is contributing to the instability of Somalia. And the second one is, in 2011, there was severe drought and famine, to the extent that 260,000 people passed away. 260,000 people in 2011 passed away due to this famine. And unfortunately, there's no media attention on this part of the world. Now in 2017, it's the repetition of what happened in 2011. The UN have put a standard, level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, the level of the drought. And currently it's sitting on the highest level number 5. The 6.2 million, out of the 16 million population, 6.2 million people are affected by this drought. And from the 6.2 million, 70,000 people are on the brink of death. We visited some of them. There's severe drought for the past 3 years. There has been no rain whatsoever. And due to that, there's a shortage of food. There's no water. Shortage of food. You know, you see the pictures when we were small and we were in school, and the school used to collect the tin food for Somalia. And you see the pictures in the newspaper of the Somalian children, where you can see their ribs and bones. Wallahi, we saw this with our eyes. We left last week, Tuesday, 13th of June. We left Durban. We took a Turkish airline flight. Now, this is also part of the journey. We had to fly to Europe to get to Africa. Unfortunately, going via the African routes to Somalia, as soon as you go into Somalia, you're going to have problems along the way, you know, through immigration in African countries. And Turkish government they assist the Somali people. They got a very good relationship with them. So taking the Turkish route made it much easier. So we had to fly from here to Johannesburg. We picked up two journalists from Radio Islam and Salam Media. One of the main reasons to take them was expose the plight of the Somali people to the people of South Africa, you know, via the radio stations, etc. And from there on, we went to Istanbul. The total journey was about 12 hours. We had to make iftar and sehri on the plane. We landed at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning, the 14th of June. We spent the entire day in Istanbul, and right till midnight. Our flight was midnight from Istanbul to Mogadishu. Iftar in Istanbul was about approximately 10 to 9 at night. And just as we were, you know, we were having iftar, the breaking news of Al Jazeera was there was a bombing in Mogadishu capital. Now, obviously, we are about to board the flight, and fear gripped us. First time we're going to a country of Somalia. Mashura was made, and the decision was taken that we are going with a lot of funds from the South African public, which was donated to Al Imdad Foundation, to discharge the zakah. So despite whatever has taken place in Somalia, we had to go on with the journey. So we went on the journey, and we went to the boarding gates. This was also an amazing experience. It was time for Isha Salah, and a few of us, you know, we started the Jamaat, Isha Jamaat. When we finished the Isha Jamaat, we saw behind us hundreds of Somali people. This was one of the amazing qualities of the Somali people. If you can go to South Beach, you can go to Mayfair Masjid, wherever they reside, and you will find they are first saf musallis, paban, steadfast on the 5 times salah. So, you know, Jamaat after Jamaat performed the Isha Salah. Already we were given, you know, the vibes of Somalia and the Somali people of Deen and Iman. Thereafter we boarded the flight, and we were told that this is an 8.5 hour flight from Istanbul to Mogadishu. Now we're thinking that we're going into a very big aircraft, like, you know, your normal aircrafts. We boarded on a small aircraft, like your Kulula and Mango flight, you know, the 3 seats on either side. Now just the thought that 8.5 hours in this small aircraft. Any case, we boarded the flight. No system, no protocol whatsoever. Each one will sit wherever he wants to. There were duplication of the allocation of seats. The guy was 25A, another person came with 25A also. So there was no system whatsoever. You sit wherever you find your seat. And that's how we departed from Istanbul. And alhamdulillah, we got sleep on that flight. And we landed at about 9 a.m. on Thursday morning. So we left South Africa Tuesday afternoon. And 9 a.m. Thursday morning, we reached our destination. This is also amazing. When we landed in Mogadishu, you can't see any airport from the top. And you see a gravel road. It's not even a runway, a short runway. We landed on the gravel, and the pilot just made it at the end of the runway. And there's only one runway. He'll take a U-turn, and back on the same runway, he'll come back to park. So, you know, this is the real Africa. We stay in South Africa, but we haven't experienced the real Africa. So we disembarked from that flight, and we entered the terminal building, which was now built by the Turkish government. And alhamdulillah, our partners, the Zamzam Foundation, they have contacts in the security and the immigration, so they were there to receive us. So immigration is very easy, alhamdulillah. And as we left the airport terminal, as I said, now you have entered Africa. There's no trolleys, no one to pull your bags, no trolleys to put your bags on. You will drag your bags with your own hands. And no tar road. This is gravel, stone, sand. And you can just see the dilapidated buildings, the bombed out buildings. And it's sandy, it's dusty, it's extreme temperatures in the late 30s. It's very humid. It's been drought for almost 3 years. We've traveled, you know, from very far. It took us almost 2 days to get there. We reached our vehicles, and there was a third vehicle. So two vehicles for the passengers and a third vehicle with full police escort. At all times, 24 hours, our entire journey in Somalia, we were with police guard because of the instability of the country and the areas. And we were taken to our hotel. Alhamdulillah, a decent hotel. You can't call it a hotel. We were given 1 hour rest, and thereafter we started the work we went for, our projects. The first project was to distribute Eid clothes to the Somali orphans. So we went to an orphanage. There were 800 orphans assembled there. 800 orphans. And alhamdulillah, they were so excited. They seeing and they hearing of their African brothers who have come all the way to help them. And then as soon as we enter Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, we tell them, no, we're South Africa. They can't believe us that we're from South Africa. So 800 orphans with our own hands, six of us, we distributed to each orphan their set of Eid clothes, and 800 orphans we did distributed. After the 800 we distributed, the next project, I'm going very quickly through the events, was the first food aid project. This was in a vacant land. There was walls surrounding it. There was a boundary. It was fully guarded by soldiers. We entered this place, and there were 3,000 food packs to be set up. 3,000 food packs. Days before we reached and arrived there, the Zamzam Foundation identify the needy recipients. They are given a pass. And on that day, they will bring that pass, and they will get permission to enter this area. So 3,000 people, mostly women and elderly women, entered this area. We assisted in setting up these food packs, flour, sugar, rice, oil, and khajur. That was the food pack, but in sacks. We waited for every single recipient to come, sit down, and collect their food package. Once we saw 3,000 there, now we were satisfied that the zakat has been discharged to the people, the aid has been distributed, has been handed over to the recipients. And as we were about to leave, this was also an amazing experience. Those elderly women raised their hands to the sky. And they're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people who assisted them. Not only us, but that person who gave 1 rand or 10 rand from South Africa so they might get some food. They're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're thanking us like this. Now you're standing there and seeing 3,000 people, at least one person's dua can be accepted. And these are all elderly Somali women. We left that place and it was already, we had to reach the hotel before sunset. Because of security reasons, we reached the hotel before iftar. That was the end of that day. We partook, you know, iftar, whatever food there was. Not so easy to eat that type of food, but we never have any other choice. We spent the night. We're not allowed to leave the hotel, so we had to read our salah in the room. And another beautiful experience, from every single masjid's loudspeaker, the Taraweeh salah was recited. And the Quran was amazing. The tajweed, the tune was beautiful. And this was the last 10 days. That Thursday was the start of the last 10 days. So after Taraweeh salah also, there was some gap, and then Qiyamul Layl used to start. And with the dua, the Qunut and Nazila as well. And that used to take them right till Sehri. But amazing, beautiful recitation and calm. Unfortunately, we couldn't attend those Taraweeh Salah and the Salah in the Masjid. The next morning after Sehri, it was Jummah. And we had a lot of distributions to do. So before Jummah, at 8 o'clock, we were taken to one area. 2,000 food packs were ready. There were some ajib incidents which took place here. As the women were entering this place, elderly woman, we came across two women, elderly women, who were disabled. They were dragging their bodies on their buttocks from the entrance of that area. They're dragging their bodies to get to the food hampers. Now that was a sign of the desperation that they're going through, the difficulty they're going through, that they will endure this hardship, but as long as they get food. Obviously, then we got those food hampers and we brought it to them. Another mother with her baby, we interviewed her, we asked her, you know, where she's coming from through her interpreter. She traveled for 100 kilometers by foot with her baby. She received her food parcel. Now, remember I told you sacks. They would take the sacks, put it in a cloth, tie the cloth on their head, the sack behind them, and that's how they will walk. With that weight, the sack is tied around their head. She said the sack, she's trying to make arrangements to send it to her children who are in the rural areas in Somalia. And she and her baby will endure this hardship and they will continue the journey and they will find some food, inshallah. Because her children at home are waiting for food. Another husband and wife, a couple, we met them as well during this distribution. They tell us, Sheikh, first time 3 months I'm seeing food. First time in 3 months I'm seeing food. I said, you're fasting? He said, I'm fasting. Now just imagine, we were coming from South Africa, every day, Sehri, Iftar, Dasturkhan was packed, the best of food. Here these people are not only needy and poor, they're fasting. And on top of that, he's saying, Sheikh, first time 3 months I'm seeing food. And this is, we call it the land of silent suffering. You don't hear about the Somali people. There's no news focus or media attention on these people. And the iman is strong. As I mentioned, the ladies were in full burqa. Haya was the highest form of haya you can find. With a lot of sharam and haya. We left that place, we had to go for Jummah. Obviously, they had to delay our entry into the masjid. Right till the end of the khutbah. Because of security reasons. You know, the masjid, what we think is a masjid, we had to go through cow sheds and through dusty, sandy roads. We entered a concrete place, we sat down there, we heard the end of the khutbah, perform our salah and immediately left for the next distribution. We did another distribution of 1,000 and then the last one for that day was 700. At the 700 distribution, a lady, 85-year-old grandmother. She's walking with her stick. And next to her, we ask her, who's this lady? Her 55-year-old daughter. 85-year-old grandmother with the 55-year-old daughter, walking with the walking sticks, mother and daughter, coming to collect their food aid. This was, you know, the ones we just picked randomly. Each one has a story. Where they're coming from? They're not from Mogadishu. It's, for example, we're from Durban. They are coming from Ladysmith and Escort, the rural, the inland areas. And they would walk to come to get their food aid. So that day of Jummah was over. The next day, Saturday, we were informed and advised and warned long before time that the area you are going to is a very unsafe area and very difficult to stay here as well. So the next morning we're anxious, we're not sure what to expect. We want to go to the airport, to be the 45-minute flight to a place called Baidawa. So, I mean, we want to know what time we have to go to the airport. That sheikh is telling us, don't worry, sheikh. I will inform you what time. I'll make some calls and inform you. Steady came, no information. After Fajr, no information. I think, sheikh, what time are we going to airport? He's saying, sheikh, see, this is Somalia. In Somalia, one domestic aircraft, whole country. Aircraft will pick up from this city, drop that city. Pick up that city, drop that city. Like an air taxi. And when it comes to the Mogadishu, it will come. We will go airport, inshallah, and we'll sit and wait. So we went airport 8 o'clock. It's not just entering an airport. The airport and the surrounding areas are controlled by the AU. By the African country soldiers, non-Muslims. Very stern people, make life difficult. They bring out the sniffer dogs, they'll sniff you, they'll sniff your baggage, they'll question you. Eventually you make it after 1.5 hours, you make it into the terminal. And the terminal also, they check your bags again, the dogs are brought again. Then the X-ray machine. So you go through the whole procedure, we reach the terminal. 8 o'clock, flight delayed. 10 o'clock, flight delayed. 12 o'clock, flight delayed. Sheikh, no flight coming. Why? Not enough passengers to go on this. Okay, no problem. Now, Baidawa was the hard hit area. People are on the brink of death. We had our CEO, Yaqub Vaid, of Alimdar Foundation there. We made mashallah and he said, people's amanat are on our hands and the people are waiting for us. Whatever the case, we will have to make a plan and get there. Through the other organizations, the Turkish organization, the Somali organization, mashwara was made and we decided to hire a small aircraft to get the aid there. But on that day, there were no aircraft going. They said, come tomorrow morning. Now tomorrow morning is Sunday. Sunday is our last day. It's risky, you might get there, may not come out in time because Monday morning is your flight out of Somalia. But mashallah was made, so we had to go with it. Next morning we got up, now you have to go through airport again. The whole security check again, 4 or 5 checks, eventually we made it. Aircraft was waiting for us. When he looked at the aircraft, he looked at my other brothers, Sati's faces, are we really gonna board this aircraft? It's one of the 1800s, 10-seater. Everything inside that interior is broken down. That plane is rattling. When the pilots took off, everything is rattling. When we reached the clouds, it started leaking in the plane as well. I never make more zikr and dua in my life than that flight. That 1 hour flight was the longest flight ever. When we reached Baidawa. We reached Baidawa, we're thinking we're reaching an airport, there was just one, again gravel road, no terminal building here. Just gravel road, you land, and you park under that gravel. Car is waiting there, jump into the car. As you're exiting the military base of the AU is there. So then the pilot tells us 4 hours you need to be back. In 4 hours you have to return, we have to get out of this place. So we get out of that place, we go through the military checks, and we get to the first village. These are internally displaced people, IDPs they call them. We can see a sea of orange tents. These are not like how you put up the UN tents, etc. These are made with bamboo and our camping tents. Two people most can sleep under the tent, but your families were living on. Our first project was a water project. So we had a tanker waiting for us. We had the pipes offloading the water into a pool. The Somali people will come. They will scoop out the water. 175-year-old lady came. We spoke to her. She traveled 2 days, 48 hours by foot to get here to get pure water. 48 hours she traveled by foot. 75-year-old woman. She traveled by foot alone to get to this place to get one scoop of water. And she'll go back. There's no water. There's no food. Even the fruits in Somalia, you can see it's drought. Even we also didn't get fruits. So we did water distribution. People were very happy. They were all smiles on their faces. We left there. We went and we just took a tour into the camp. Wallahi, there was nothing in this camp. Nothing. No. The people had no belongings. They had no food. Nothing. Some of the children also never have clothes on their bodies. The next one was really heartbreaking. We stopped at a hospital. This hospital, we went to the pediatric ward. You know, you hear about malnourished children. 235 of them who got access to the hospital. Hospital can only host or can cater for 40 children max. Where the other 200? Were their mothers on the stairs, on the corridors, on the pavement, on the grass? Like an istima. There's no proper medical treatment. The children, wallahi, they're on the brink of death, that any minute they will pass away. There's no food, no water whatsoever. They need people to come there and give them aid. The doctors don't have those supplies. If someone asked me to describe Somalia, you might think like Somalia now, there's town, there's dwellings, there's buildings. It's one big squatter camp. Where we were staying also, the surrounding areas of the building was one big squatter camp. There's no tar on the roads. There's only sand, there's no drainage, there's no dustbins, there's dirt everywhere. The place is run down. So how do you get medical supplies? So 235 children, we could see their ribs and bones being exposed through their skins. I mean, 3-4 year old children. So many had passed away through starvation. Yeah, the mothers also, they were not even interested that we came. I mean, we came to visit them and see how we can help them. Well, after so many months and years of struggle, there's no need for them to even smile that we came to help. Whatever assistance we could give there, we gave there. And we left that hospital. We had to do a distribution, food distribution for 2,000 people. We had to hurry that. Now get back to the airstrip, I'd call it, not even airport. As we reach there, the AU soldiers are waiting there. Sir, we want boarding pass. Where are we going to get boarding pass? We hired this flight. We chartered this flight. We never go through a normal domestic airline. We don't have boarding pass. They're not Muslims, they're AU soldiers. Sorry, we cannot enter. You cannot take this flight. We need to see boarding pass. Now in our minds, behind us is all displaced people. There's no food or water for them. This place is known as where bombings take place. It's very unsafe. We had to leave before sunset. Trying to explain to the guy, he is not interested. He said, as soon as we're going forward, more soldiers came and they made a line. You cannot pass us. We can see our plane, but they'll not allow us to pass. Everyone started reading their wazifas and duas. And after some time, about half an hour, through some contact, we had the Somali local people with us. Through some contact, Allah made asbab that we got through their supervisor. And he just told them, please let these people go through. Even they were amazed at how we contacted the supervisor. Even we're giving them the phone to speak, they don't even speak on the phone. The supervisor on the phone, but that guy is uninterested. He doesn't want to speak on the phone. They're very hard people. Eventually, we ran through our aircraft, we took off from there. As we're flying, the pilot is showing us all the crashed airlines and planes on the ground. He's showing us all the crashed planes on the ground. As we're going through that 1 hour, we saw about 3 planes crashed. Normal big aircrafts crashed. These are inexperienced pilots. Those planes are outdated. Alhamdulillah, we managed to reach Mogadishu again. Go through the security check. And, you know, very quickly I gave you the whole overview of our trip. That was our last day. The next morning, we were supposed to leave. We went and we had an orphan's iftar in that night. And alhamdulillah, it was satisfying and it was fulfilling that we delivered the aid personally to the recipients. But it was difficult to leave also, because there's hundreds and thousands of people who haven't seen food, who haven't got water. The next morning we get up, there's no water for us. It's sehri time, there's no water for us, for toilet, for bathing, for sehri, there's no water. Eventually we have to leave for the airport. Flight was at 10 a.m. So we left early because of all the security checks. When you go to 5-6 security checks, the final one at the boarding gate as well, waiting for our aircraft, the Turkish Airlines. Turkish Airlines, we see it coming, about to land. It doesn't land, it takes off again. Second time it does the same thing. About to land, it takes off again. And this time it didn't come back. It went back, went for good back to Turkey. The officials are explaining to us that he cannot land on the short stop. So we say, how did we land in the first place? He said, no, there's slight wind. So this pilot is inexperienced. He cannot land on the stop. So we ask him, what do we do now? He said, go back to Mogadishu. Now we're thinking there's no water. Go through all the security checks. It's such an unsafe place. We're in the middle, we're in the airport, we're stranded. Turkish Airlines gone back to Turkey. So if that can't land, which aircraft's going to land? After hours, and the Turkish Airlines, now they started making a plan, but they said the only option is now to take a Somali plane. Juba Airways. I don't know if you heard that before. Juba Airways. You can go and Google it. Juba Airways will not go to Turkey. It will fly from Mogadishu 5 hours to Dubai. From Dubai, you'll sit transit for 10 hours. Turkish Airlines will take you from there to Istanbul for another 5 hours. From Istanbul, you take a 12-hour flight to Johannesburg, and then you come back to South Africa. That was the only option. Other option is you come back tomorrow, Turkish Airlines will come again, may land, may not land. We immediately said, Juba is the way. We will go Juba Airways, you know. We made our du'as. Alhamdulillah, we managed with that aircraft that took us safely to Dubai, but it was a 48-hour journey from the time we left Mogadishu, Somalia, to get back to Durban. 48 hours. Our bags were in transit as well for 48 hours. Very difficult trip. A lot of hardships. Somalia teaches you sabr. How to make sabr. You know, you can't complain. Who are you going to complain to? All the people, Sheikh. Sabr. The amazing lesson that I learned from Somalia was the steadfastness of the people with regards to their salah. The guides with us, irrespective of how long the day or how hard the day, Taraweeh is compulsory for them. This, obviously the other 5 times salah, but he'll make sure how long the day and how tiresome the day was, he will go to the masjid and perform his Taraweeh salah. The Taraweeh salah was packed to capacity. The haya of the woman. As I mentioned, not a single Somali woman we saw without burqa. Not ordinary burqa, the long burqas. And the contentment on the Somali people. This is normal what we're seeing. This is a normal daily life. Those roads where I described to you, the condition which I described to you, it's normal for them. Unfortunately, they became immune to this situation and this crisis. To us, it's abnormal. We want to leave this place. Any more series and iftars to do in Somalia will be very difficult. For them, it's normal. But Allah has blessed them with an ajib contentment. They are content. They wear their lungis, some kurtas. In the afternoon, you see the children holding the kitabs, the Qurans. They're going to madrasas. Normally, Al-Imdad Foundation, whichever area we go, disaster area, with the food aid, our first purpose is to get a madrasa established. You know, undercover. That's the main thing. And food aid is your front, but behind the scene, we get a madrasa established. This was the first place that they'll teach us deen. We couldn't even establish a madrasa here. They will teach us deen. And throughout the journey, at the end of year, the amount of shukr you make, wallahi, we only understand and realize this because I experienced Ramadan here, and now I was put into Somalia. What Allah has blessed us here in South Africa is amazing. The access to come to the masjid with freedom, I mentioned this in past talks as well, we take this for granted. You know, in the night also, the brothers, while we were sleeping, they were shooting, taking place in the area where we were staying. We don't find this in our place. There is crime here. But we have total access, 100% freedom to come to the masjid and perform our salah. What excuse do we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They don't have freedom, they don't have that access to get to the masjid, but they'll make sure they get to the masjid. Those women, look at the haya of those women. What answer do our women have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What excuse do we have? What has Allah not blessed us with? Who seated here didn't have iftar or sari during the month of Ramadan? Those people told us, Shaykh, 3 months no food. First time we're seeing food. First time we're seeing food in 3 months. Who seated here is first time in 3 months they're seeing food? Amount of shukr we learn. So the message to the South African Muslims is we need to assist these people. There's a dire need. People have been asking, yes, Syria is there. A lot of attention has been put. And there's great need for Syria. Somalia, there's no attention. They're low-class people. Won't worry about them. There's people dying as we speak. I've been there, I've seen it, I'm not speaking any lies. So we need to increase our sadaqah to that region. Make a lot of shukr that Allah has blessed us with so many bounties in South Africa, and a lot of dua, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين Oh, my most beautiful Allah, my most forgiving Allah, my most caring Allah, my most loving Allah. This could be the last few minutes and seconds for the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the flights have departed, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, you are still there, Ya Allah. In the last few seconds, Ya Allah, you are still there, Ya Allah. The flights have departed, Ya Allah, but you have not gone, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins, Ya Allah. Forgive our minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from sinning, Ya Allah. We don't want to sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to perform our 5 times salah with jamaat in a masjid every single day, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to do amal, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to love you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to practice on the sunnah of your Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the ummah is suffering, Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, people in Syria, Ya Allah, they spend the entire month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Those orphans, Ya Allah, they spend the entire month of Ramadan without fathers, Ya Allah. Without mothers, Ya Allah. Without limbs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those are the descendants of Sahaba Kiram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the people of Somalia, Allah, quietly, Allah, and silently, Allah, they have passed through the Ramadan, Ya Allah, without food, Ya Allah, without sehri, Ya Allah, without iftar, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, when we stand up in front of you, Ya Allah, we stand in front of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we stand in front of the Sahaba Ikram, and they look at us, that the Ummah was suffering. What did you do? What answer are we going to have to you, Ya Allah? What face are we going to show Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When his ummah, Ya Allah, was suffering so much of difficulties, no food, Ya Allah, no water, Ya Allah. How are we going to face Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How are we going to face the Sahaba Kiram, wherein their descendants were suffering, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to assist the people, Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah. Give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to assist the Muslims throughout the world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the Muslims of South Africa, Ya Allah, protect us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect our businesses, Ya Allah. Protect our families, Ya Allah. Protect our homes, Ya Allah. Protect our masajid and madaris, Ya Allah. Protect our ulama and hufaz, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever ibadah we did in the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept all our ibadah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept all our ibadah, Ya Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.